a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
FBI Confidential, taking you inside the FBI with hosts Debbie Dujanovic, Cheryl Worsley, and Becky Bruce.
Hey, long time no here. This is FBI Confidential co-host Becky Bruce. We wanted to bring you this special episode of the Dave and Dujanovic show because it seems like it would be something that listeners of FBI Confidential would be very interested in. Dave and Debbie talked to FBI Salt Lake City Division Special Agent in Charge Eric Barnhart about a very famous Ponzi scheme that has taken about 10 years to bring down and finally has resulted in a conclusion here within the last little bit. So we'll play that for you now, and then when we're done, stay tuned and we'll tell you how you can subscribe to Dave and Debbie's show and hear more content like that.
$100 million, Debbie. $100 million. I just felt sick. My heart sank when I saw that headline that so many hardworking Utahns had lost just tons and tons of money on an investment scheme that went on for years and years right here in Utah.
Can you believe it? And I did the happy dance. I've got some professional investment in this story. I began looking into this guy 13 years ago. 13 years ago as the investigative reporter for KSL TV. Rick Kerber. Yeah, he's eventually charged with running a Ponzi scheme. And here's how it worked, Dave. This is so fascinating to me. He convinced people to skim equity out of their homes. You remember the craze of the housing market, right? 10 years ago when houses were just increasing in value. Well, they would skim the equity out of their homes by getting that equity through refinance and then turning the money over to him to invest. And he would tout earnings up to 5% a month, which sounds phenomenal. You do the math, that's like 60% a year. Whoa. Come on. Really? You're going to get 60% back a year on your investment? No way. Instead of investing it, prosecutors said he used millions to pay back other investors. And he held fancy seminars. They called him the equity mill. But along the way, he was also buying up more than $1 million in fancy cars. He made a low-budget horror film. He paid for dental work. He spent $425,000 on the minting of coins. Yeah. FBI investigated this case. I also worked as the spokesperson for the FBI during part of the investigation, so I have a long-standing professional investment with this story. We're joined now by FBI Special Agent in Charge, Eric Barnhart. Dave, $100 million, as you said, it's just mind-numbing. It's mind-numbing. I know, Eric, tell us, how do cases like this begin to unravel?
Well, you alluded to it in that the first investor is in, the money is taken in, and they have to keep bringing in investors. And sooner or later, investors are not getting the return, and they start to realize that something is up. And somebody, they may call a reporter, they may call us, hopefully. There's a lot of avenues to report now, but sooner or later, every Ponzi scheme crushes under its own weight. They can't bring in enough money, new money, to pay off the initial investors.
My guess is that once you're alerted to this, it's fairly simple to follow the money. Is this true? I mean, it doesn't seem like an overly complicated scheme, though that's probably the genius of it is it's easy returns early on, get a lot of investors, and then next thing you know, you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars.
I think it's the human factor. People are, they don't believe that they've been taken. They can't believe that they've been taken. They're embarrassed. So a lot of times the human element, the fact pattern and following the money may be the easier part of the investigation, but it's getting people to come forward and detailing exactly what the scheme was, how they were approached, how they came to invest, maybe who else they brought into it. But it's, again, getting people to realize that a lot of people around the country are taken every day by schemes like this.
Are people afraid to talk to you about it because they're afraid they're going to be guilty? They're going to be charged criminally? Because that would be a fear for me. If I start realizing that, wow, I just got taken and I've got 10 people that I just took, could I be charged as well?
I think that is a fear of people. They don't realize suddenly when they realize they may have run afoul of a law or what they're investing in, it could be illegal. That is, again, another fear. It's the fear of the unknown. Am I suddenly a subject of this rather than a victim?
We're talking to FBI Special Agent in Charge of the Salt Lake City Division, Eric Barnhart, about a $100 million Ponzi scheme where the guy at the helm just got convicted right here in Salt Lake City. Eric, I'm wondering, as investors bring in new investors, because they're initially in a Ponzi scheme, seem like they're making their money back and they're getting a great interest rate on their investment. Do they do it through, like, church, family, and friends? And are we just too trusting here in Utah?
I think the dollar amount alone says, and what we're seeing in Utah says, yes, in many instances, we are too trusting. And what you're alluding to, what we call under the more umbrella term, is affinity fraud. You're using relationships, social, church, otherwise, as a way to establish a relationship with somebody that then you are going to take advantage of.
I always say spread the good word.
Yes.
And a lot of these people who run these schemes are really charismatic, and they know how to get their fingers in your bank account. And then, you know, you are impressed as an investor because you're getting some money back. And so you spread the good word.
Yes, exactly.
Rick Herber is now facing sentencing later this year or early next year. Any idea how much time he may end up spending in prison on this conviction?
I haven't done the exact math, but I believe he could spend up to 10 years. Of course, that's going to be up to the judge to determine.
Now, the problem with this is that money's gone. All right, most of it or all of it. What happens? There's obviously no reparations that he could possibly pay. No one could ever do anything with that kind of money, that debt. So 10 years, to me, it seems insufficient for the devastation that has crossed the state. But that's as high as it goes, I guess?
Yes. And again, it's a number of different factors. When I first got into this business, I could never understand, you know, why people weren't sentenced to the maximum, but it's a dollar amount. There's only so many bed spaces in prisons. And so we try to determine what the, you know, with our laws passed by Congress and the sentencing guidelines, who should stay in. You know, sometimes you may have to weigh a Rick Kerber against somebody who preys on children. And it's not always that binary choice, but again, it does play into, you know, how much resources do we have to keep somebody incarcerated?
Fancy cars purchased with investment money. A low-budget horror film made with investors' money. Paying for dental work. $400,000 spent on minting coins. I mean, who mints coins? But this is pretty typical in these types of schemes, where the person who's accused of running these schemes, in fact, goes and spends all kinds of money that investors think is going into investment on themselves and fancy cars. So if somebody pulls up in a fancy car in front of my house asking me to refinance my home and give them all the equity, I look at that as a huge red flag. A huge red flag. Like, you know what? They're going to use that fancy car to try to convince me that they're doing well in the investment, when in reality, it's nothing more than just a front.
And I think you only have to look as far as Warren Buffett, one of the richest men, most successful investors in the world, and see the lifestyle that he lives, which is a very down to earth lifestyle, and see what he espouses. And it's, if you don't understand it, don't invest in it. If it sounds too good to be true, don't invest in it. Don't worry about missing out on something. Good opportunities, good legitimate opportunities will come along. There are people out there that the public, the listening public, can go find and adhere to their principles, and they'll be much better for it.
If you think something's fishy, what do you do? If you're part of it, if you've been approached, what's your best avenue?
Yeah, and as a result of how widespread this is here in Utah, I think last year we investigated close to $2 billion in affinity fraud schemes. And it's because of that the Utah legislature has recognized the vastness of the problem that they have started an initiative of, you know, Stop Fraud Utah. And part of that is establishing a white-collar registry, much like a sex offender registry. We've got about 250 folks on that where they can look up. If people just Google Utah white-collar registry, they can see these 250 convicted fraudsters. And that's probably the first step when somebody comes to you with something saying, hey, this is too good to be true. Pick up the phone. You know, and a lot of these guys will go with a high pressure. I need a decision now. You know, if you don't get in today, no. If it's a good deal today, it'll be a good deal tomorrow. Do your due diligence. Call us. Call the state. Call, you know, go on the registry. There's so many resources.
As an investigative reporter, I have investigated a number of investment fraud schemes over the years. And Dave, I think there's some definite red flags that Eric and I would love to talk to our listeners about. When we come back, we're talking live to the FBI special agent in charge of the Salt Lake City Division of the FBI. Eric Barnhart stopped by to help us all make sure that we're putting our money in the right place and not getting ripped off. Let's continue our conversation in just a moment.
It's 10:17. You're listening to Dave and Dujanovic.
One of them is Streetwise.
Will you show me all of the data you've collected specifically about me?
One is a wise guy.
Every day you make your bed and you run 8 miles, are you a Navy SEAL?
I don't run 8 miles every day.
And that is a new conversation. Dave and Dujanovic on KSL News Radio.
Dave, have I got a deal for you. I want you to go.
How many zeros you want?
Yeah.
Just tell me I love you. I think you're all
you trust
in.
Me.
Whatever you want, Debbie, I'll just start putting zeros until you say stop.
I'm going to ask you and your wife to refinance your house starting today. And then the next month, I want you to give me all of the equity that is in your house. Just write me a check. I want you to skim all that equity out, and then I'm going to invest it for you, my friend. And I'm going to give you about 5% a month back on your investment. Does that sound like a deal?
Not APR. You're talking every single month?
Every single month. You give me, let's say you have $100,000 in equity in your home, and I'm going to invest that for you and give you 5% back a month. That's 60% a year. That's unbelievable. Because it is unbelievable. We're talking live right now in studio with FBI Special Agent in Charge, Eric Barnhart. He's joining us on the heels of a major conviction right here in Utah of a guy by the name of Rick Kerber. I've been looking into this guy. I started looking into him 13 years ago as the investigative reporter here at KSL Television. He ran something called the Equity Mill. People would refinance their homes, give him money to invest, and lo and behold, it turned out, according to prosecutors, to be a Ponzi scheme. What are some of the red flags we got to look for, Eric?
And we had talked about it before. Is it too good to be true?
Oh, yeah.
Is it the investment where it promises a no-risk, high return? And as I said, when we're on break, you're sooner to find a unicorn than to find a legitimate investment that is no-risk, high return. It just does not exist.
Well, I think the big question is, how many people did he get? I mean, the sheer number of people he had to dupe to get to $100 million. How many people are involved in this?
Right now, our estimate is 250, but we believe there's even more downstream investors. Again, with every Ponzi scheme, there's the first level investors, and again, we're trying to track victims down that may be well down the line that we don't yet know about.
And this money's gone.
I see no way that this is going to get back to those folks, unfortunately.
And in these types of schemes, that's not unusual. What's happening is, Dave, you're giving me your money to invest, and I'm actually taking money from somebody else to pay you back what seems to be the monthly interest that I've promised you. At the end of the day, these Ponzi schemes always collapse. Have we ever heard of one that's actually survived? I can't think of one.
Do we want to admit to it?
I can't think of one that actually ends up, you know, coming out okay in the end. And a lot of these people end up getting convicted by the FBI and through, you know, investigations that, you know, finally people come forward Eric, you know, one of the things that I've heard over the years as I look into these stories is that people are afraid to come forward because they're told by the person who's running the investment that if they do come forward and talk to law enforcement about it, that for sure they'll never get their money back. So sometimes they'll end up calling me instead because they're afraid to contact law enforcement and report it.
Yeah, and again, it's the same behavior in probably even a more heinous way of people that victimize children. What does the victimizer tell the victim? Don't tell anyone. You're gonna get in trouble. It's the a crook is a crook. They use the same sort of modus operandi. And again, if anybody tells you you've invested money with me, but if you go to law enforcement, it lessens your chances of getting your return. That's probably the mother of all red flags.
How long does it take to run something like this? It seems like it would fall in on itself fairly quickly. So is the time frame, even though Debbie, you started doing this 13 years ago and he was recently convicted, how long can something like this sustain itself?
It can go on for decades. And again, the best of these folks are great salespeople. They are, snake oil salesmen, but they can con a lot of people that otherwise are very bright, accomplished folks. And again, in the case of Mr. Kerber, he had slick advertising in real estate magazines. I mean, he had the persona of nice cars, big homes, second homes, and it was all part of the marketing. And so again, it's eventually, once that collapses, you have to, go back and say, when did he first come up with it? And what was his whole plan all along? And again, very exquisite planning goes into these cons.
One of the things that I've noticed over the years in my reporting is that friends will tell friends. Church members will tell other church members. Baseball coaches will tell other baseball coaches about the amazing money and returns that they're getting back from their investment, not realizing that they're bringing people into a fraud because they themselves don't realize yet that they're have invested actually in a Ponzi scheme. In fact, one of the cases I worked, and this is not unusual at all, it was very specifically using his connections with the LDS Church to lure people in. But it could be the Catholic Church. I've heard of cases involved at the Baptist Church. It's not unusual for these con men to use their church affiliations. It doesn't matter what church you go to.
Yep. Bernie Madoff, probably one of the biggest Ponzi scheme in the nation's history, used his connections with his church in New York. So it doesn't recognize one faith over another. It is something a con man will try and identify any in with a potential victim that they can use.
So who, I understand someone's got to be the whistleblower at some point. They've got to call you guys and say, listen, this is what's going on. But I was wondering, who is responsible if you're part of that pyramid scheme and all of a sudden maybe you're on the third or fourth layer, but you've brought in other people? Are you responsible as well? Are you going to be charged and taken to jail?
We're going to look at, when if somebody comes to realize suddenly they have that epiphany and they realize, wait a second, I've been conned and I brought other people in, then it's a matter of what did they know beforehand. If they knowingly, they said, hey, I'm going to bring in Dave and Deb, but I already know it's a scam. Okay, you may be criminally liable. But if you have that realization of I've been taken and I took 10 of my friends and neighbors, we're going to look at that person much more as a victim.
Yes, and you're going to work with them.
Yes.
And you'll create a relationship and figure out, listen, let's get the people that are really nefarious.
Exactly.
And get those guys behind bars.
Yes.
Special Agent in Charge of the FBI, Eric Barnhart. Fabulous information. If you could give our listeners one takeaway from this, what is the biggest red flag that you see as the Special Agent in Charge of the FBI when it comes to these types of white-collar crime and these investment schemes?
It's the old cliche. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Plain and simple.
So if somebody promises you, Dave, 5% interest back a month after you skim all the equity out of your home, you just run, my friend, run. Great advice. FBI Special Agent in Charge Eric Barnhart, thanks for dropping by the Dave and Dijanovic show today. Great information as well on the heels of a massive, massive Ponzi scheme conviction that happened just last week right here in Salt Lake City. $100 million investment scheme busted wide open by agents at the FBI and prosecuted by federal prosecutors.
And again, you were just listening to an interview with FBI Salt Lake City Division Special Agent in Charge Eric Barnhart on Dave and Dijanovic, which airs Monday through Thursday on KSL News Radio from 9 to noon. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere else that you find podcasts, you will find Dave and Dijanovic. I highly recommend you check it out. Debbie, of course, as you know, is the co-host of FBI Confidential, and she's also a former spokesperson for the FBI here in Salt Lake City, as well as an investigative reporter. So she's got some serious street cred in that area, and we're happy to have her as part of both this project and that show. Becky Bruce, signing off.